Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross. Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome back to the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hey guys.
I'm your host, the Smut Daddy, or Father Lib.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt, and we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and now talk every day and can't imagine life without the other.
And today is like literally one of my most favorite times ever because the person who brought us together on Instagram is here. If you're already watching, you already know, but for our listeners, we have the wonderful Literary Alexandra here with us. Hi!
Hello. So exciting. I feel like I'm matchmaking.
You really are. And I kid you not. You might, if your like ear ever twitches or tickles or something, it's probably us talking about you in a great way because we talk about you constantly. Yes. We're like, did you see
something that I had, but yeah.
No, it's just like, oh my gosh. I don't even know what we wouldn't have this podcast without you, literally. Like it all goes back to day one. So we are beyond excited to get to talk to you and let other people get to talk to you. Everyone should know you. If they don't, I don't know what they're even
doing.
What are they even doing on Bookstagram? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, hello. But we want to hear from you. Hi, tell us like a little bit about yourself for a second and what's been going on with life. You got married over the summer and we just want to hear all about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the book space world since 2021, and I had no idea that it even existed, if I'm being honest with you. And so I think I stumbled on it because of TikTok, like everybody else. And I think like one of the first couple people that I started following was Rachel from Fit Teacher Rachel. Mm-hmm. I found her. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. Which is crazy. Now she's like one of my good friends.
I was going to say, what a full circle moment because you guys are besties.
It is. And then also Pauline, who I absolutely adore. She's from books I've loved. And so like I found them and I was like, oh my God, they're so cute. Like, what are they reading? Blah, blah, blah. And I was reading at that point, but I wasn't reading like actual real books. I don't know how to explain it. Like I was reading mostly on Wattpad. Well, mm-hmm. I'll take that back. Wattpad is real books.
It is real.
Yes.
But we understand what you're meaning. It wasn't like die hard, like you're opening it and you're finishing it and then you're diving in again and again and again.
Yeah, exactly. So like, so I was doing Wattpad. I was doing, there's another one called Galaxy and Inkit. So like, that's what I was doing. It was like a lot of fan fiction, a lot of just like, indie published.
AO3, were you ever on AO3?
It's crazy.
Really?
On AO3 because I just didn't know about it. I didn't stumble on it. I think I also aged out of like the Tumblr era. So
I was going to say, I only knew of it from my Tumblr. That's how I found it.
I am older. I know a lot of people are shocked to hear this. I am 36 years old. So like I graduated college like in 2010. So like by the time
I beat by 2 years, girl.
Okay. You look so young. That's amazing.
I'm 38. I'm 27. And still
young. I love it. 27 was a good year for me, but I didn't grow up in that Tumblr phase. Yeah. I was out drinking.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So then I found BookTok and I posted my first video and I just posted it without any thought because I was just like, I need to get my thoughts out there. And it was basically about Akasif. And ooh. It was kind of like my theories about Akasif. And I don't know why, I had to find the video, what I said exactly, like my theories were, but yeah. I think they were accurate. And then it slowly turned into that. And like, I don't know, I was having so much fun. And then I was like, I should do an Instagram because I wanted to like, not just do videos. Like I wanted to post photos. And I loved Instagram. And I think I love Bookstagram way more than BookTok, honestly. I really,
me too.
I feel like I actually developed friendships better that way. I met
me
more
too.
People. I feel like I got exposed to a lot more diverse books, yes, diverse people, mm-hmm, because it's always like a little bit of an echo chamber when you're on TikTok. And
yeah, because whatever you keep seeing, the algorithm's like, oh, well, clearly this is what you want to see all the time.
Exactly, exactly.
And I just don't have the clock app, yeah, so that's why I'm not commenting, because I'm not over there. So
if I see something I think's important, I have to like screen record it now and send it to her, you know.
Yes. Share TikTok videos with people that don't have TikTok. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Anyway, so that's been my journey. And yeah, I love it. I own a coffee shop in Chicago with my husband. It's called Elevate Coffee. I always tell people, if you're ever in Chicago, like, come and visit, like, literally slide.
And I'm not kidding. It is the best coffee. I'm not
kidding. So good.
Brittany will attest, and my husband, they are, I talk about it all the time. I'll be like, no one makes coffee like that creme brulee coffee that I had when we were on our girls' trip. It is, yes, the best. I dream, yeah, about it.
It's like our number one seller for a reason. We have two locations in Chicago, and I tell everybody and your listeners too, if you ever find yourself in Chicago, go there. Let me know so I can give you like a discount, like a free.
Oh, that's so nice.
I want people to just like enjoy it.
Yes.
And write a good review. But yeah. I got married this year, which was really exciting, back in July. And then some not so fun things. My dad passed away last month. So, which is like, it's okay. It's life. You know, we all kind of go through it. So
I'm proud, yeah, of you, though, for being able to get to a point where you can. You're, yeah, living with the uncomfortableness, and I think that's hard to find sometimes.
Yeah, I'm living with the uncomfortableness, and reading definitely helped me get through it. And, like, I'm not at that place right now where I still want to make content yet. Like, does it feel – it just doesn't feel super natural to me. And, like,
yes,
I feel like I'm a little bit more quiet on the app. Plus everything that happened, like, this week, it's just been, yeah, a lot. It's been a lot. So I'm just, yes, like – it's okay.
That's okay. I think, yeah, this too, because obviously, well, if it's okay, like, we were going to record, and then obviously you had the tragic passing, but yeah, I think we were, but Britt and I were both like, hey, it's on her time, literally whenever, yeah, you slide in and say, and I was not like shocked, but I was just so happy when you did reach back out, because I knew that in a way you were just, it was your small victory for you. And I was just really happy. I remember I texted Britt like, hey, she wants some dates and times. Like, it's not even about this. If it never even came out, I was just happy that you were in a place where you're like, I think I can talk, sure, and love something. And I, that's so good. It's so hard. You're doing so good.
It's been hard, but it's been good getting slowly back into things. And it's made me realize, I think, a lot about my reading and what I enjoy. Also, like, after I got married, because I was in Greece for like 7 weeks. You know?
I was, can so I just fun. Say, I don't know if it's weird, but like, what, it was my royal wedding. Everyone knew what was going on. I was like, have you seen the dress? Have you seen, yep, this? Like, I wasn't trying to be weird, but it was. I was like, beautiful, amazing. And then you were there for weeks. And I was like, guys, I'm literally living through her right,
like,
now, all the time.
Virtual trip around Greece. I loved it.
I loved it.
Are you
your
not
wedding,
coming?
It was beautiful, by the way. I know it might sound weird, but it was so beautiful. I had never seen Greece like that either. I just loved that I got a view of it. I, yeah, so good.
It was a great time, and we had so many friends. Like, I had bookish people at my wedding, which I absolutely, yeah, loved. Like, I was like, so I invited so many of them, and like, the ones that could make it made it, and I was just like, I was floored. I loved it. And
was
then
that your first time meeting any of them in real life? Or had you met them all previously?
No, before? I met them all previously. I met them all at
Okay.
That's even more incredible,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. I met them all at the weddings. And they're, you know, I think like I didn't invite like 30 million people. I invite the world, but I invited the ones that I absolutely loved and adored and just, yeah, like true friends. Like, you know,
you're
what I mean?
True,
like,
right. Yeah.
Actual,
like, I don't think it's a bad thing to say. Space. Yeah, like, you're allowed to have acquaintances and people, yeah, that aren't your best friends. But, like, you know, Brittany and I, we meet up every 4 months in real time because it's a real friendship. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's allowed, yes, to expand. So good. I'm glad that you could have so many there.
And I think that, like, especially with the book world, and I think this is why I loved my Bookstagram, was the fact that, like, it does allow you to get to know people and beyond just books, right? So, like, if I deleted my Bookstagram and my TikTok and everything, if I took myself out of the community, I know that they would still be my friends because we have other things, yes, to talk about. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, the conversations we have are not always focused on books, you know? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the only time Britt and I are talking about books is when we're on the podcast sometimes. It's because we have other things to chat about during the week.
They have been part of like my journey through getting married and getting engaged and like the death of my father. Like they've been all there. Like it's like, it's great. And I think that's the benefit of creating a community in the book world is the friendships you do get, because you do get it.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. I know sometimes I feel like a lot of people will ask like, well, how did you guys find each other? Or, I mean, we got lucky. I mean, we know not everyone finds someone on day one. But like, I think we weren't like forcing something right away. Like we weren't like, let's talk about only books and what we're, you know what I mean? We were just like, hey, like I live in Ohio. Like, and I do read,
I think we connected,
you know,
more about the personal things that you were being vulnerable
and especially
sharing
because
about.
If anyone doesn't know, I think this is a good time. So like we said, I had been lurking in the book community for a while as well. I've been a reader since 2020. I had a late term miscarriage. And so I found romance as a way of healing while I was on the bed rest and recovering. So I was reading and reading and reviewing. And I was honestly making friends with authors and stuff, but like on Goodreads back when it was a lot, you know, chiller. It wasn't as explosive, I think, as what it was of so many people on it. And then randomly I was on TikTok, or my husband was like, I was watching TikTok and they said that there's like a book community. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. So I literally found some people. I was already following you on TikTok and you were on Instagram. And so I was like, oh, follow, obviously. And then you had this beautiful photo shoot of yourself with like flowers, like as your top. Mm-hmm, and I don't know, you literally looked like a fairy princess goddess. And I told my husband, I was like, I need you to take pictures of me like this. And like, so I can, like, I was like, I'll credit her, which I was like, I loved it. And thank goodness, like, I mean, sometimes people get weird about crediting people and that's not the point, but I did. And it literally brought me a whole world that I had no idea. I posted that. I was like, wouldn't it be so cool, like, if she saw it and like liked it, and then you did and you reposted it. And I met my best friends are from probably that first week of me creating, and Brittany found me immediately. She was like, hi. So that like probably an hour by the time you reposted the thing, Britt and I were talking and we were like, hey, what's your phone number? Like, we were just like, let's dive on in, like, let's be best friends. And now it's been a year plus. Like, I can't even believe it.
Yeah,
and
for it's a while, literally, you two really threw me for a loop because your profile pictures were so similar. But they
I know.
And I was like, wait.
I hope you weren't ever angry about that. It was all in love. I thought you were beautiful. I was like, look at her. I just say all that. So, well, in case people don't know, but like, it's the most random things, like the most random acts of kindness or just like small things or just loving someone in this community. And then I mean, like, literally it all exploded. It happened so quickly and we grew and I started meeting new friends and new people, and I'm very introverted. I don't have a lot of friends. So I've never had so many friends in my whole life now. I love it. And I literally tell everyone like, hey, if you don't know, we call you LA. I think we've told you multiple times because you're literally so much of our life that we just say LA. So I'm like, if you guys don't know LA, like, I don't know what to tell you because she's my whole origin story. She's like our whole, she's our meet cute. Origin. She's everything. Yep. Like, our first episode was called The Meet Cute, and we had to make sure we talked all about it. So if you're ever needing a pick me up, that's your episode, girl, for sure. Do you think you grew quickly, like TikTok wise or Bookstagram wise, because you came with maybe a little bit of a following? Not that that takes away anything, but was it like a mass growth for you, or has it taken time and now you're seeing, you know, all the progress you made?
I think it was steady, right? So like, I think with TikTok, like, I think I got to 10,000 followers on TikTok pretty quickly. So that was like the summer when everything was kind of crazy. Like, and by crazy, I mean like people were the most out of pocket videos that you could ever think of, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
That was so fun in 2021, let me tell you. Like the things that people were posting, like the spicy quotes, like people were getting videos taken down left and right, like crazy. And then it was like the Ice Planet Barbarian phenomenon that I was reading. And
that's
so, like,
how I found you.
Yes. And so like, I love that series. Like, I think it grew quickly to 10,000, and then it was like pretty steady for a while. And then I hit, obviously, what was it? It was last year. No, I'm trying to think. We moved into this apartment and I think I started slowing down a little bit on content just because we were moving.
Yeah.
But I got my library set up. It was fun. And then I think the entire year of 2022, is it? Wait, no, it's 24 now. Sorry. Of 23 is when I barely was posting on TikTok, like barely. And like, I know for a fact, like that is, you have to post every day, if not twice a day, like to continuously grow. And I had no desire. I don't know why. And I wasn't posting regularly and it hurt my growth. And like, I mean, I'm losing followers on TikTok, which again, it doesn't matter. But like, right. I think about resurrecting it. I feel like it's, I don't want to say it's dead in the water, but it's just like, I want to approach it, but doing it a different way. And then with Instagram, I think I grew that pretty quickly. Instagram is easier to get things to go viral, I think sometimes because of how the algorithm works. And I think on Instagram, it's easier to get weird people to see your videos than it is on TikTok.
Yes.
Since you started on TikTok, did you take the content that you'd already created over there and just bring it to Instagram?
Yeah. There's very many videos that I make that are specific for Instagram. Like, I think I try to make specific Instagram videos because, like, you know, if you're ever scrolling on the Discovery page, like, you'll see a lot of like aesthetic videos and like pretty videos on Instagram, which work. And I tried to do that, but I was like, I don't fucking have the talent for that. So I was like,
it is so much work to have an aesthetic.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's also like, how do you video? How do you edit? I was like, I just don't want to do that. And so like,
and it's so much time. Like, it's so much time that we all are doing other things. You have businesses and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
So like, I figured the best way that I could do it is just like making content that I make on TikTok. There's no difference. And so, yeah, I just reposted it. It was fine. Yeah. But I love Instagram because even though I'm not posting photos or reels, like I'm posting on my stories, you know, and
or there's always DMs, like someone's always willing to talk or wants to talk. And I like Instagram more than TikTok as well.
Because I haven't been posting a lot because of my dad. Like, I literally just took the time to grieve and stuff. And I feel like I do, it's not as active anymore because I used to have so many DMs and people and like, I miss that. So I'm just like, I think I'm slowly getting to the point where I can be myself again.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But, yeah.
And allow yourself like the up and downs, you know, we'll all still be here even if you need
Exactly. You know? I think I made that into a story. I was like, if people want to unfollow because of that, that's totally fine. Doesn't matter. I want the people that are here with me to be with me. So, and I think like also now I'm trying to figure out like what kind of content I want to put out there and what I want to talk about. And also I think like, do I want to start doing other things than just books? Like that's like a thing that I want to do. So like, I don't know what that looks like. You know, so yeah.
It's exciting. Like, I'm not like, I don't want you to do that. I'm like, oh, I want to know what you're going to do next.
I look at Rachel, for example, right? So like Rachel is firmly on book talk or in the book space, but she's also a mom first and foremost. And like talking about like
always
she does with her kids and like savings and deals. Like she balances it so well. And I agree. Kind of what I want to do. Like I want to figure out that balance. So like there's a whole side of me personality wise that like I'm Greek. That's a big part of who I am. And I can make so much content about being
Greek. I would watch all of it. I would love to learn about it.
Yes. Like so in my
culture,
world,
music, like anything, food, literally anything you told. I watched every day. I was like, I wonder what she's going to post.
Yeah.
So like, that I can know more.
Yeah, like I just like I think like do I do it? Like will people get it? Like I don't want to just be a Greek account. Like I have a very good friend who's in Chicago and his account is strictly Greek and he does it in a way where it's like it's like Greek memes basically and videos. Oh. And he's just so funny, but he does it in a way that it like it can be almost a universal kind of thing. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about what I wanted to do, what I want to create.
Forgive me if this is a naive question. Are you fluent? Mm-hmm. Like, could you teach us? I think like I would love that. Like I've had a couple books. You know what I mean? Like if you like taught little bits or do you have books that are you translated? Like you got them in while you were there and you read them? You know what I mean? Like that's things that I would like, that's such a good crossover, I feel like.
I think like there are, so like I am fluent in it, but I think like some of the reading comprehension could is a little bit slower for me, especially when they throw up a fucking word that I've never heard before. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What's that? Greeks, like the Greek language is so beautiful and so versatile that there are so many words that you think like, you would think that that would not be the word that they're using. I don't know how to explain it, but feel like I could teach people, but it won't be the best. But let me show you this one book that I have.
No, I would love.
Yeah.
I love to see all the different covers, like from different countries. That's what we were asking Paisley, is like all the authors get to do all these different covers and they're so cool.
Yeah. So like that's like one thing that I love to do is collect books in Greek or in Serbian. Granted, I don't read Serbian, Nico Serbian, but I have them because they're always cool covers and I have always better covers in the US. And sometimes in Europe, you'll find like a regular book that's like on their shelves. Here, this is 7 Year Slip, right? By Ashley Boston.
Oh, I love the pink immediately.
Yeah.
So like they have like Fairy Loot just dropped like a special edition of this. Again, it's pink, but like, and also like the edges are painted. But like somebody else had a pink version of 7 Year Slip that was like a special edition. It was so hard to find. And then here I go to like a regular bookstore in Greece and I'm like, it's just sitting here. I'm like, what the fuck? It's pink.
You're like, it's literally already pink. Just the everyday version.
I got this one, which I absolutely love. And I love this book. So I think about it. I'm like, I should go and read these. I mean, it would take me a little bit longer, but I feel like it would be great for me to practice. And then these are Divine Rivals. And
I am obsessed.
This is like, beautiful.
Serbian versions. But how cool is that?
Oh my gosh. That's one of my favorite series of all times. The way that I need to come into your library. Those are beautiful.
I have not read Ruthless Vows. So like I read Divine Rivals.
We've talked about this, young lady. We have been in the DMs chatting about our theories and you still haven't read it. I give you a pass, but
I haven't read either.
Not to say that it's not enticing. I want to know what happens. Like it ended on a cliffhanger and like I had read it last year and like I think Ruthless Vows came out like a month or two later. So there's no time in between, but I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be disappointed by any means. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I completely understand because I feel like I had those feelings
and like
before.
Also
but then I was not let down.
Okay, good to know. And like Wisteria, like,
without a doubt,
is also something that I started and I stopped because I guess the audio was not like kind of fucked up and like the author about it. Like there were some issues with the audio. It was like the narrator was reading off of a version that was not finalized in the book.
Oh.
So we're like, it's going to be like about a month or so until it's updated. So like I put it on pause. But again, that book came out in August. And here in Chicago, it was fucking hot until like 2 weeks ago. I wasn't in mind to read Wisteria. So it's holiday winter. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to wait, but yeah, I'm going to get to it.
I have like a couple, obviously everyone does, but like core things that like I want no criticism on, and Divine Rivals and Ruthless Vows is one of them, if that helps you. And I don't really give those titles out too much, but I take no criticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Ruthless Vows included, just so you know, because I was worried. I'm like, oh my gosh, what if we get literally, I don't want something that's not what I already planned. And it was different than what I had thought, but I literally loved every second of it.
That, I think that was like the first like YA series I had read in a very long time because, and I was very much like of the mindset, like, I want spice. I want these people fucking all the time. Yeah. And I think because of that, I think I missed a lot of great books, you know, because I was like, oh, I don't want to do School Burn.
It's not just you. I tell that to everyone. I'm like, I preach YA. I'm like, why? You guys are missing out on Pining.
I know.
When someone's like, I love Pride and Prejudice, I'm like, then why aren't you reading YA? Because that is some angst and longing and I'll go to the ends of the world for you. I'm like, oh, swoon.
Perfect balance of that. It was historical romance books.
Yes, which, ma'am.
Yes.
I wanted to talk all about with you.
In 2023 was when I was reading majority historical romance books, which is a reason why I didn't create a lot of content because I was like, who the fuck wants to hear about historical romance books?
I do.
I know. No, not the time. But then I started reading historical romances and it's like the perfect amount of spice, right? Like you still get spice in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so much pining and just like this like forbiddenness. And I loved it. I like devoured Lisa Kleypas. And like, I'm not a fan of the Bridgerton series. I will tell you that. I read it. I did not get to read Hyacinth or Gregory's books yet. But the other one.
You're not missing much.
I'm like, those two, we're not missing much.
I mean, they're in the middle, I will say, for my ranking, but you're not missing out, to be honest.
No.
Oh,
Well, I think my favorite book that I had read out of the Bridgerton was honestly Benedict's book.
I love Tess.
Yeah. And Francesca.
Franny's my number one. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
We're all in agreement on that one.
So yeah, that's like, and I think that's how I found the perfect middle ground of like, I want that piney. Cause sometimes I'll be honest, there's some like romance books that are out there that I'm just like, this sucks. This is awful.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's okay. And I'm glad you said it because I think sometimes there are people who are afraid to say their opinions because they're like, I don't want to get canceled or my friend loved it. And we always advocate for, hey, I didn't like it, but it might be your cup of tea. But if you think a lot like me and you know how I think and you know I don't like it, then you might think very similar. I'm just trying to help you out. So I'm really glad you said that.
Here, I'll be honest with you. So like, I always do honest reviews on everything that I read, but I think I rate higher than I mean to. And I don't do that purposely to mislead anybody. But it's like, sometimes I'm just like, it was a great book. I'm going to give it 5 stars. You know what I mean?
That's how we feel though.
Go with the vibes.
We like to go with vibes a lot of time. I can give you the bullet points of things that are like literally living rent free in my head. But we read like thousands of books over years. It's things are going to morph together.
There's been definitely, I think, books that I've read that I was like, okay, great example. I've read a shit ton of Jessica Kane books. I don't know if you guys ever read Jessica Kane.
I have.
I haven't.
So good. She's unhinged and they're just crazy. So like, I would read one of her books and had so much fun. A 70-page novella about a super tall man, you know, like big burly guy who ejaculates in his pants because this girl said hi to him. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Favorite,
I'm like, that's her favorite
right
microtrope.
It's a great.
I love it.
Yeah. And so like, yes. I'm going to give that 5 stars.
Every time.
I'm also going to read like an Emily Henry book and give that 5 stars. Like, you know what I mean?
So oh.
It's hard to.
We're big on vibes and like, what emotion did you evoke for me? Because I love to laugh out loud while I'm reading. But also like, if you made me Kim Kardashian cry, you know, that's 5 stars.
So it's hard to like do it. So like recently I just read a book, which I was like kind of, I'm in a book club with my friend, my real life friends that live here. And so we go around every month, pick a different book. And the majority of the books that everybody picks are usually suspense, murder mysteries, not the tea, and that's totally fine, but I still read them and I'm
not your jam, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by them. I enjoy it. But I
would be like in the margins, like you could kiss here, you know, like you could hold hands.
You could. romance if you really wanted it to be. So I turned to say a book that I wanted to like pick. And so like it was, I did Ready or Not by Kara Bestone. Okay. Do you know that book?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't.
So let me show you what it looks like. This is it. Ready or Not. It's accidental pregnancy.
Oh, it's pretty.
She's set in New York, all that stuff, right? And so I'm reading it. I'm listening to the audio as well. Fantastic audio.
That's how I did it, was on audio.
So I picked this book because when it came out, people were raving about it. Raving. Like 5 stars. Best book I've read. Favorite book of 2024. And I was like, okay.
Best accidental pregnancy of all time. That's the one I saw.
That's a lie.
A lie.
But
a lie.
So many better accidental pregnancies.
Well, that's why I picked it up, is because someone was like, I kept saying best accidental pregnancy I've ever read. And that's one of my top three tropes.
They're on crack then, because.
I'm like, correct.
You can pick any. Daphne Perry writes amazing accidental pregnancy. Pick up one of hers instead.
Or, I'm like, I backlisted all of it.
Or Out on a Limb by Hannah Bonham Carter. That Out on a Limb is the perfect.
I cried. It was so good.
Anyway.
That one's on my TBR. It's not one of my fave tropes to read, I'll be honest. Like, it goes 50-50.
I get it. But so many people who did not like that trope read Out on a Limb.
True.
They were amazing. Because you know what they did really great about Out on a Limb is that they had real conversations, because the main character, her hand, she has like a deformity, like a handicap basically. And so she's deciding, like, could I do this, like, with my disability, right? Be a mother with my disability, and also real conversations around abortion, like, do I have to have should I get an abortion, like, really weighing a lot of her options. I thought that was so well done.
That was so good. I remember crying.
This book.
It was so good.
I recommended it to my I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, everyone, the majority of people on Instagram loved this book. So I'm like, there's no way my friends are not going to like this book, right? So I started listening to it, and I'm listening to it. I'm just like, oh, they're not going to like this book. They're not. First of all, they had one sex scene. Again, I don't mind Slow Burn anymore, but it was like at 85% of this book, which I think is kind of insane. It's not.
That's insane.
The love interest is not the baby daddy. Basically, it's kind of complicated, but she sleeps with this guy that she met at a bar. She goes back and tells him, and he's like, holy shit. He's like, I actually have a girlfriend. Her and I were on a break when you and I hooked up.
Okay,
it was
Ross.
Yeah, it was Ross.
Rachel's situation. And it just felt, and like there was no discussion around abortion. And like, I get it. It serves the trope plot of accidental pregnancy.
Yeah.
But you are a young girl living in New York City. Both of your parents are deceased. You don't have a support network around you. You just have your friends, like your best friend. By the way, your best friend is also struggling with infertility issues also. And
oh yeah, I remember that. It's been a while and since so, I did the audio.
Infertility issues. And then on top of that, like you're working in a job that you simply cannot, you're not getting paid enough. Right. So these are real things. And like, I'm like, I think.
But there was no real conversation on any part. Like, yeah. So I get completely what you're saying.
You knew it on the periphery, but you didn't really, like, she didn't like dive into it. And like, I felt like the book was just so surface level and it didn't really get in deeper. And I was like, I can't rate it high. Like, this is not a 5-star read for me. This is not my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think like I gave it a 4 on Goodreads. I would probably give it a 3.5, honestly, because there were some really great things about the book for sure. But if I just read it and didn't do the audio, I think I would have rated it lower for sure. But that's my whole point is that like I trusted, like people always say like BookTok lied to me or Bookstagram lied to me. And like in a way, I think sometimes they do, but like some things work for some people and some things just don't. And
absolutely.
And then I went to Goodreads to go check it off that I read it. And on Goodreads, it has a 4.0 something rating. And I was like, holy fuck. If I went to Goodreads and actually checked it, I'm like, I would have known better because like it has more honest reviews on Goodreads, I think, because people don't care. And that's my whole thing. But like, I think there's always, and so this made me realize that I'm like, maybe I need to go back to crazy Kindle Unlimited books because I think this year I've tried to read a lot more trad published books and they're great. Mm. They're trad for a reason. Too watered down, you know what I mean?
Yep. So, my favorite books, like as I get older, are ones I keep telling everyone, like I want 50% plot. And I mean real plot, real conversations, real fucking things happening. I don't care if it's romantic suspense or whatever. Like I want real. And then you can throw in the filthiest smut wherever. Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm with you. It's just like there are so many. I just call them fluff. And there's a time and place for it. So maybe it's not a good word. But I'm just like, looking for more. And I feel like I read that and I wanted more. I thought I would get more.
Yeah. And I think it's fluff. And like, I was like talking to my friends, like, have you guys read Ready or Not yet? And they were like, all of them. Like, they were like, yes, loved it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's like, okay, what's wrong with me? And then I really thought, I'm like, should I stop reading romance because like I'm in this grieving process with my dad? Like, is it because, am I not connecting to these books? But I'm like, that's not true. Cause like I read one of Devaney's books that when it came out, forgot what it was called. It came out like right around it was Sunlight.
Oh, I went a little viral of a crying picture of me on Threads over Sunlight.
I loved Sunlight. One of my good friends didn't really vibe with it and that's fine, but I loved Sunlight. And
loved it.
That was also an accidental pregnancy.
One of the, and to me, and that I will can take it if it's wrong, but one of the best I've ever read. Cause I thought, hi, are we talking and communicating real points, her voice, what's going on?
Yeah.
Jax was just like, I'm here, I'm in it. Like, but like, what are you doing? How do you feel? I loved it. Yeah. I literally loved it.
And I also reread all of ACOTAR, which was
love it.
So
I just did a reread this summer and it was phenomenal. Graphic audio for the win.
I don't reread books ever. I never do. Never.
Wow. Never come to read?
No, I don't. I don't know why. I just do not do that. And Did it this time around with ACOTAR because of my dad. I was like, I just want a book that like I don't have to be super invested in, that like I already. Yeah. And then I understood finally why people reread. You know what I mean? Like there's comfort
in
it.
Did you pick up on things that you didn't get the first time?
Absolutely.
It's weird because you are finding such like cozy comfort, but then it's the details. You're like, wait a minute, I was too new the first time. I didn't even understand.
So I'm caught up with the entire SJM world, right? Like I finished Crescent City, like all that stuff. And I was like rereading all of ACOTAR, and I can't remember what book it was in. I have to go back in my text messages because I was like texting my friends who've also read ACOTAR. But I think it was something that like, I think it was the third book or in Nessa's book. I forgot what it was, but I was like, oh my God, this is literally Crescent City. Like they're literally talking about Crescent City, especially when they were like, these people came through like, they say that they came through different worlds, through different yep. portals. I was like, yep. SJM is mm-hmm. literally psychotic for being
her brain is
genius.
Insane.
So I did ACOTAR first, just while we're talking. And then I remember reading those specifically, like when they're standing on a terrace, he's like, shoots his hand out. I was like, that is the most bizarre ass shit to ever be doing when your homegirl is right here and you're just like to the stars. So then when I was reading Throne of Glass, and I'm a Throne of Glass girl, like superior to me, she's our ACOTAR girl, Britt, in the middle. I was reading Throne of Glass and I was like, oh, so you just saved my whole life, my whole world with your hand out. I just remember. And be like, okay, that was the most important hand toss of all time. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, that's why also the theory is like when you're reading Crescent City, it's like, or Throne of Glass, like, is Reese a Vlag? Like, who knows? Like, you know what I mean? But like Reese definitely knew what was going on. Like he absolutely like was like, I just can help you there.
Then you get to Crescent City and you're learning that their whole power up system is literally just what they're seeing at night in the stars
in
at,
Starfall.
Once a year.
I need to understand that. Like I didn't.
So that's what blew my mind is when I was, I'm really good at picking out the whodunits and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where I was like, ooh.
I realized I'm like, wait, Starfall, the power. So explain that to me.
So Crescent City, when they're doing like they go up and they touch the gates and they're doing all that to like give their power as those power ups so that the, I can't remember what they're called there, like their superior beings can be charged up. It all links back to when Bryce was falling through, you know, like she was falling and Danica was supposed to be there. That falling is the exact same Starfall. Like Reese in their universe could technically see Bryce if they were looking with a telescope while she was falling because that was Starfall. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The way their universe crosses over is what they're witnessing. Like Reese is like, this is beautiful, magical, power our world. It's literally just souls falling in the land of Crescent City.
What about when like a soul splatters on them?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
I'm not like, sure about that one, but like it's the only reason why Aelin, you know, where she came through all of it. Like she was literally like, if he wouldn't have thrown his arm out, she would have been Bryce's next power up. You know what I mean? If Aelin doesn't get, if he doesn't throw his hand out in ACOTAR to save Aelin falling through the world to save everyone from Maeve, then she literally gets put into that gate power bank that Bryce would have then used to try to go through with Danica.
I mean, how the timeline is, like, I think that, like, it's confirmed now. They're on different planets that they're kind of all.
Planets. But you got to think, like, Harry Potter style, like, how they're, like, on the same timeline as us, but we can't go there and see it. That's how you're supposed to be looking at it.
Because I think at the. At Crescent City, when she goes to the world of ACOTAR, which was so good when that happened,
I still haven't read the last one.
She knows all about it, though. No, don't think you spoiled.
I know all about it. Don't think. Yeah, no,
don't think that. No.
Sorry, I'm just because I have.
No, we know
I'm not
all
sure
about
I'm
it.
Ready
like
to
every
be
last
ending,
spoiler.
Like in current with SJM, but I'm also like I've heard such mixed opinions, and I'm just I don't know. I just haven't pulled the trigger.
Don't think you're spoiling though. Yeah, I'm like don't think you're spoiling for her.
Nothing.
The third
I know it all.
City was not my favorite. It was
no, I did not like it. And I'll be honest, the first one was my favorite.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
With Lahaba and all of it, the comedic timing of the vacuum, like just
the vacuum.
Genuinely the comedic timing of everything with
like
Bryce and
your
Hunt.
Eyes out, but then the vacuum was just so
right.
Like,
and
it reminds
I just,
me of,
I loved it.
Sorry, what was that old Julia Roberts movie where she, Lord have mercy, Steel Magnolia.
That's a great movie.
Like you go from bawling to dying laughing at the funeral. Like that's
and
what
that
it reminded
was book
me
one.
Of.
Like every time, because I'm like a huge, this is Eric Northman's Fangs from True Blood. But every time she was like, I'm trying to watch Fangs on the couch. I was like, me too, girl. I'm also trying to watch Fangs on your toy doll couch.
I didn't want La Haba to die. Like that was.
That hurt my whole soul.
The tears. And then she was fine.
I cried so hard.
And when she was, she saved her friends. I'm going to cry again. I'm going to cry again.
Oh, me too. Me too. I think that honestly is one of the hardest I've ever cried out of SJM books.
Yes. Yeah.
It was more than Kingdom of Ash. And I cried a lot in that.
I cried harder at Lele than the 13.
Oh, yeah. That me too. Killed me.
And that killed me. Astrid specifically in her story. But I almost had to throw up because of Lele. I remember being like, we're not doing well.
When anybody brings, so Astrid and her hunter make me more sad than Sam Cortland's death. Honestly.
Same. Yes. Honestly, more than.
But I'm also not a Sam girly. Like, he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's fine. But when she goes, I flew over his house a couple times and he was just like sitting out there waiting for somebody. Waiting. I was like, I'm going to cry. I think I'm going to cry.
And then when she's flying in and she's like, I'll see him. Okay. You go be sunlight, you freaking beautiful human. I'm just like, okay.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, sorry. I did not mean to make you
cry. So I'm emotional about everything.
Me too. We can all cry together.
But I think like I straddle the line between being an ACOTAR girly and a Throne of Glass girly. I don't know how to explain it because like
that's okay.
I read ACOTAR first, so it holds a special place in my heart for sure. But like when I read Throne of Glass, I read it immediately after I finished ACOTAR, and like this was like 2-3 years ago, and I got to I had done Assassin's Blade. I did Crown of Midnight, Throne of Glass, and then I think one more, and then
Air of Fire.
Yes, I finished Air of Fire. It was like so fucking good, and I think like I did it in the romantic order, right? So like I read Assassin's Blade, and then I knew Sam was gonna die. Like I knew that already, but I didn't want to confront it, so I stopped reading it, and I stopped reading it for like 2 years. So last Christmas is when I sat down. I was like, let me go and reread everything, and I simply fell in love with it. I think like it was so well written. I actually really enjoyed Tower of Dawn. I really did.
Me too.
Yep.
Me too.
I did. I know. I'm sorry. Like I didn't.
I love it.
I didn't do the tandem read. I read.
We did do the tandem. That's the only way I know it.
Okay, so. That's fair.
So we read it together for 8 weeks. What? A complete buddy read, like literally every day. We did not go one page over. We were like we together. Had set chapters so we on are days. Trauma fucking bonded with this series.
I'm fine.
But this series is my everything. Like I read ACOTAR, and here's where I'm controversial. So I was reading ACOTAR, and it's good. I will always say it is good. But from pretty much book one, I was like, hey, so I love book one also, not for Tamlin, but I'm a Death Games type of plot girly. Like that really intrigues like my brain with fantasy. So I loved book one. I've been waiting for Elaine my whole existence. I am her. It sucks, but I am like, I'm peace and flowers and my all seeing third eye, and I'm going to come in and destroy everybody. So like, I like it, but I know I'm waiting. Like, I'm just like, hi, like, where's me? Where's my girl? So then I moved, took a break, did Fourth Wing, fell in love with Violet Sorengale and her alone. That's who this is for, is Violet Sorengale. Fuck you, Zayden, just so everyone knows. My standpoint on that, I don't like men that lie to me, and when they have the truth, I just...
Spoilers, especially with Zayden, can read her fucking mind the entire time.
Girl, you're my girl. This is why we talk in the DMs and fantasy. We're always on the same page. So yeah, so then I did Fourth Wing and all that. So then I came back and Britt was like, let's do, like, with Spuddy Retog, my little... I'm like, let me tell you about my fire heart and how she literally changed my whole soul.
I want that.
I drew these for us. It literally changed. Oh, yeah, we did. At Great Something Tattoo, right downtown.
I need tattoos, and I would love some bookish ones, but the fire heart, oh, my God, makes me cry.
I will send you the drawing. You can go and get it. I don't think any book really like changed my soul. And I say that with my whole chest. But then I read Throne of Glass and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I've never been so invested in something in literally my whole life. Like
Yeah.
I love Aelin, obviously, but it's like every version of her. It's literally every name. It's every female. Cause we were publicly hating on people. Like, it's in a saved highlight bubble. And then then at the end, you're like, by the way, I love Lysandra and everyone. And I don't even know what I was saying in book one, that she was a bitch. No, she's saving her future. I just like, oh God, I love it.
Sense to reread it, but I'm just like, that's such a commitment. And like,
that's
why I didn't do the tandem read, because I was like, I started off with a tandem read, and then I stopped, and I was like, it's so difficult for me to do the tandem read. Let me just read it in publication order. And there were some parts that with Tower of Dawn that I was like, oh God, kind of bored, but like, I still loved it.
It's also super important. I will say it's blue in the face. Like, I don't like it, but.
Empire of Storms and then Tower of Dawn, is that the publication order?
Yes. So you get to the beach and then you have to go to the fucking desert of a man that has pissed me off so much I'm gonna scream. I'm literally gonna scream. And then every time he's like,
you know what though? So after I finished Empire of Storms and then got to the beach and it was like, so, oh my God. And then when Lorcan was like, I wasn't crawling to Maeve, I was like, oh God.
That man has some redeeming to do on my read through.
So I did the tandem read after that for a couple, like 10, 15 chapters of both books. So I still got a little taste of the other book, but then I was like, I can't keep doing this. So yeah. But anyway,
it's hard.
It was fine. But yeah.
But you're caught up on CC, like all the way as well.
I'm totally caught up. And
you're like, are you caught up on all things fantasy for them? Like, let's say like the big three. Like, so you're caught up on SJ. You're caught up on Rebecca Yarros. Iron Flame. Like, you're ready for Onyx Storm come January.
I mean, yeah, I think I am. I think she like let me down on the second book. I'll be honest with you. I feel like, but
me
yeah,
too.
It was very much like second book syndrome.
Yep. And I'm the minority in a lot of my opinions, and I'm fine with that, genuinely. I just thought, I don't know. I was just, you know, I was like, let's have feminine rage. And then everyone was like, she's in this. I'm like, just lie to her for a whole book. I don't understand how you think she's annoying. I'd be saying the same shit at 18. Actually, I'd be crying and probably throwing up.
Well, I think that's another thing. I think these characters are literally 18 years old. Like,
yes.
And I really have a hard time in, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I read the YA. So I am very able to be like, we're 18. We are literally 18. We don't know anything. And if everyone's been lying to us for our whole lives, I'm like, hi, we're 18. We're actually 12.
So I have some guy friends who picked up Fourth Wing who are reading it right now. And I was like, what do you guys think? I was like, what do you guys think about the sex part? And he's like, honestly, I kind of skip the sex part. He's like, I'm more interested in the politics of it all. I'm like,
I really liked Fourth Wing's, just the whole setup of the politics. I liked that it was different.
I think the third book, I hope, would be good because, like, we ended, again, spoilers, we ended because he's now Venon, right?
Zayas. Yeah, and I, honestly, let's get a new love interest. You know, let's get someone else. I'm very angry, and I'm okay with that. He made me so pissed off. And people are like, people are like, what about my house, my chair, my woman? How about you can eat me out any day and I can still hate you? Her second signet, I definitely picked up on it on my first read through. She is a truth slayer.
Meaning,
think the Morgan. And we don't like her in that. I don't like Morgan in ACOTAR. But that's why Zayden's pushing her so much and wants her to hit her to like read his mind and his vibes, because he's trying to push her to the point, I think, where she's literally the key to it all. Are you lying? What are you doing? I have two dragons. Then we have Andarno, who now controls time. So you have someone who controls time, the most powerful dragon in the whole world with Tran, and she literally can know immediately who's lying and who's not. Yeah, she's like, you know what I mean? So I think he's pushing her for a good way, but it's the audacity of men being like, I don't believe you and I don't know if you're trustworthy, so I didn't tell you anything. Sir, you can read everyone's mind and vibe, so you know that my intentions were good. And that's what I'll say till I'm blue in the face. He knew all day that her intentions were good. Yeah. And so when people are like, but he didn't know. He didn't read her mind, really. No, he reads intentions, and hers are pure, which is why he wanted to not kill her that immediately when he met her on the parapet, because she was pure. And so that's where I just get so angry. And because people then are like, their number one argument is like, she's just annoying. You're annoying me. How about that?
I'm like, reread the second book if I can. I'm just gonna see if I
do wonder. I've never reread it. I've read.
I've only read Fourth Wing and Iron Flame once each. So I definitely need to reread.
Read Fourth Wing an embarrassing amount of times. I get very embarrassed when I have to read. It's such a comfort read for me. I have chronic health issues. I have mental health issues. I have always been like the look down and you can't do it. And I resonated more with Violet than Aelin. And so I've read it like 10 times.
Okay. I love that you said that because a real friend of mine in the real world, I hate to say like in the real world, but like just not a bookish person. Yeah. I tried to read Fourth Wing and I didn't even think about it, but my friend struggles with an autoimmune disease and she's constantly, she's constantly in pain.
So constantly. I live with chronic pain a lot of times because of my PCOS and endo and everything under the sun.
Right. I didn't make the connection.
And so, I've never fallen in love more. Like I tell Britt a lot. Like it hurts me. Like I love my fire heart. But if someone was like, who are you? It is Violet.
There you go. Yeah. So you changed me and she's like, oh my God. She's like, I am Violet. I completely understand what she's going through. And she like absolutely loved it and adored it. And I was
good.
I think that's great. But yeah, so
I do too. It's one of the first characters I've seen where they let her be vulnerable and frail and she still figured out how the fuck to do it. One of my favorite lines is like, oranges, violence. I'm like, fuck you. Like, yeah, that's right, girl.
I mean, I just am so impressed with Violet's like critical thinking and like she has had to figure out ways to get ahead in everything in her life.
I love that like, they underestimate her because she reads and they're like, well, you can't do anything if you read. Actually, I'm pretty sure us readers are smarter than everybody.
When she got up the like thing with her knife and doing the different thing and they're like, oh, you cheated. And I'm like, no.
Wrong. Because you're allowed to come in with anything that's on your body.
Figured out that's your problem. She found a way around it and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Sorry, that was you can't get me going on fantasy because like I ride hard for those girls. Those are my girls. I love them. So what are you reading? I know it's been slow, but is there anything that you're like, I would like to try, which it's okay if you can't, but are you like, hey, this came out and I think I'd like to try by the end of the year or it is a goal or.
Yes. Okay. So there are a couple books. So I'm rereading The Co-op by Tara DeWitt, who I love. Tara DeWitt.
I haven't read that yet.
Have you read any of her books?
No, I learned of her from you. Like,
seen her name a lot recently.
She is on my list because of you.
Yeah.
Where do you recommend starting? Like, where should we start?
Trying to think. Funny Feelings, obviously. That was like, I loved Funny Feelings.
Well, that's honest. Well, and then when you got like proposed, I'm sorry, I'm chronically online with you. I was like, okay, I really have to read this book if Nico was able to be a freaking baller ass book husband and figure out how to plan it. I was like, yeah, that's immediately going to need to be read.
No, Funny Feelings is super cute. I loved it. It's fake dating trope is one of my favorite tropes. So
me too.
It was done super well. And so I'm reading, the co-op is being re-released. And so I'm rereading that. She changed a little bit of it. But then she also came out, she has an arc for another book of hers called Left of Forever. So if you read her book, Savor It, there is the main character in Savor It, her brother and his wife. So they're divorced. But so it's like a marriage reconciliation, second chance.
Oh, I'm into that.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I have to read that. And I also have an arc of Out in the Woods by Hannah. So,
because it's getting re-released. Or that's the new one, the second one to Out on a Limb.
But that's also a marriage of reconciliation. And she actually sent me a very early release arc of it right around the time I got married. She's like, here you go, happy wedding present, whatever. I was like, this is the best wedding present ever. And she's like, really?
Heck yeah.
Book about marriage reconciliation, right?
Yeah. How to work through your problems before you have to do it. I think that is amazing.
Yeah. So yes, Out of the Woods. So those are the two. They both come out next year and I'm excited. I want to read them now. And because a lot of the books just haven't been hitting and I know that those books will. And then I think I also want to finish Wisteria. I want to Ruthless Vows. And then also Say You Swear by Megan Brandy. I've never read that book, but a part of me wants to read it. And then
it's on my I'm never going to read list because I don't want to feel that many emotions.
Can I be very honest with you? I'm not getting any spoilers.
Don't. I know people cry.
No spoilers. No spoilers. I just, it's, how do I say it? It's more than just crying, you know?
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
It's like, that's one of the books I'm like, this is inevitably heavy.
Yes. So I want to read
this. Just so you're aware.
I know. I want that. And I want to also.
I love that. That's some of my favorite types of books to read. I want to be left sobbing in pain.
Love that for both of you so much.
This one, it was just got delivered. But have you read this? Did you beta read or ARC read?
I really liked it. It's not my favorite of the three that are out.
Yeah, it was Lost and Lassoed for the people not watching.
Oh, sorry, Lost and Lassoed. I get bad about that sometimes.
I think Lila made the perfect world. I want to live there. I'm obsessed with it. And so I think the second book with Ada and Wes, those two are just like my favorite. So like I can't rate any of these books bad. Like they're just so good.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite out of the series. Like I think the book is absolutely going to be my favorite. However, the fourth book coming out.
I'm like, book four is my man, for sure.
I think Teddy and Gus are going to be my favorite. So really?
I loved Teddy. I really related to her because her whole thing was you feel like you're kind of playing catch up with everybody in your life. Like everybody's growing, everybody's moving on.
But you are stuck where you're at. Yeah.
I completely related to that. So I loved it. But so I finished Lost and Lassoed. And then I'm trying to think. There's a couple others. I have to make a list of what I want to read.
Are you excited for Devney's Fantasy?
I am.
I don't know if you have spoilers, you don't have to say or insider information, but I'm just like, are you gonna try to arc read that and let me know if I should read it immediately?
Absolutely. I think it's perfect. When I found out that she's an ACOTAR girly, she reads Jermaine, like she loves fantasy.
Yes. The fanfic too. I was really excited when she was talking in her Facebook group about how she likes fanfiction.
And she also loves historical romances. So I'm really fortunate that I've gotten close with Devney. Obviously, I'm besties with Logan. Logan and Devney work together. So I think I
love Logan. Logan's library. I'm sure everyone knows because you guys are besties. Yeah. But
I don't want to be like, it's for sure I'm going to get an arc. I don't want to do that.
No, but that's exciting though.
The chances are good.
No, but that's exciting because this is...
I her first
truth and facts. It's not
this is like her first thing ever, right? Yeah. Without small town.
So excited. But I think like
I pre-ordered already.
I hope that I can get I don't know if she's probably gonna do a dual release like of the book and the audio. So if I could get an ARC and an ALC, I'll be fucking
That's what I'm gonna go for when it's time. I think she's one of your really good friends too, Jenna.
Same
so
mind.
She runs I can really bad with usernames sometimes, but I'm in her
Those are where I'm must, better.
I'm in her Must Love Audio group. I've been in there for a while. And so I'm literally just like, I'm hoping that Devney blesses all of us with ALC codes when it's time.
Works because I think like MLA is connected with like who is creating the audio, but I don't know, but
I just excited, and I just love Jenna. I like to shout them out. They're all amazing over there. They're so wonderful.
That's fantastic. I think so I have a lot of books to read. I want to read Quicksilver. I started reading
me too Callie Hart, right?
Yes, I started reading that with my eyes, but like I wasn't really into it. Then I was like, let me do the audio for it. So I got to make a list. Like there are I'm looking around. There are so many fucking books and
so many, and they never stop coming.
So many, so little time.
I know.
And October was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So here's a little controversial take that I'm about to share because I was thinking about the other day.
I love those.
Is my reading challenge for this year was 100 books. So I was like, okay, I can do that. And I hit the goal, which is great. But like, I'm looking at the list of like what I've read. And I think people have such clear winners of like who, like what their favorite books are this year. Like this is the book for me. Like when I think about
Nothing will beat Crossroads.
Right. And so like for me, I'm like, what am I? What is the book? And like I'm looking and I'm like, there's been a lot of great ones. I think Savor It for me was really, I loved Funny Story by Emily Henry, but I was just kind of like, I don't know. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm like, I read that this year. I had no fucking
clue. As soon as I finished Crossroads. Or got like halfway through Crossroads, I knew immediately it would be my number one read, my first Infinity Star for Devney ever. And I've backlisted all of it besides like the Mason Jar series and Clarence Manor. I need to do that. I got the audio.
Oh my God, I did Manor. It was so good. But I had such a good reading year, like the beginning of the year.
That's what I was saying. I don't know how to rank everything besides Crossroads. I'm like Crossroads 1. And then I'm like, so what is 2 through 10? I don't know.
This year has been for me, like, I'm looking right now, like a little bit of historical romances again. But for me, it was more of like Allie Hazelwood and Emily Henry redemption for me. And then yeah. Crossroads came out, Our Little Secret. And then after Our Little Secret, which was like summertime, so like right before I got married, right? I think mm-hmm. it was June or May or June. That is when my reading fell off. Like, yeah. It was hard for me to read. It was hard for me to focus. But now that
life just happened.
It life did. But like, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, it this year was Allie Hazelwood and Emily Henry redemption for me. So yeah. Yeah.
I haven't read any Emily Henry, but she's me on neither. My list.
Yes.
Yeah, so Allie, I have a good amount, but I haven't done.
So I think like I have an interesting story behind Emily Henry is that I picked up People We Meet on Vacation when it was super popular on BookTok about like 2 years ago, right? Like whatever it came, mm-hmm. it was like it caught everybody by storm. That and Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. And
yeah, that's where I started.
Mind you, my reading preferences at that time was spice. I want like that's all.
Me too.
Yep.
You know,
I was like deep into bully romance.
No, literally, like reading Douglas, like you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like Rena Kitt, and I'm like, I don't think that your Love Hypothesis is for me.
So that's what I was like. That's what I was reading. Like I feel like I've lived so many different lives. Like before, I was like loving historical romances. I was a big mafia girly. Like I love.
Oh, yes. Me too.
So I read People Meet on Vacation. No, I'm sorry. I read Love Hypothesis when it came out, and I think I got to maybe like a couple chapters in and I was like, I am so fucking bored. And at that
point, that's how I felt at first.
Wasn't an audio girly. I did not do audiobooks then. And I was just like, I kind of DNF'd it. I was like, I will get back to it when I get back to it. And that's how I felt about it. And then I picked up People Meet on Vacation because again, everybody was like, this book is amazing. It's amazing. Blah, blah, blah. I can't say hate it anymore. I know I will. I fucking hated that book. I hated People Meet on Vacation. I did. And then
I love
the
it.
The amount of friends I have that don't like that book.
I don't like it. And I think that there is a lot of people love it and valid reasons, 100%. I was a huge bitch about it when I like first like read it and like I literally disliked it with all of my heart. So it's not my favorite Emily Henry. And that's okay. Because I think some people would say her book Happy Place is their, it's not their favorite book.
And you love it.
I love it. Right?
Yep.
I love mm-hmm. Happy Place. I love Funny Story. But for me, I think it was, yeah, Logan. Logan was like, I read Emily Henry. I read one of her books. It was Book Lovers. That's what she read.
So, yes.
Book Lovers, which is older sister, like the main character is an older sister. She's whatever. And because I love Nesta from Akasef, Logan was like, you need to read Book Lovers. Just trust me. You will read it. You'll love it.
She's like, I'm pulling the best friend card. You have to read this.
Okay, so I got the audio. I like to do immersive reading and do both at the same time.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
And so I did it and I was like, holy shit. I was like, I love Book Lovers. And then I went to read Beach Read and I was just like, I love Beach Read's my favorite book. It's like so, so good. And then it was like a redemption thing. And I was very honest, like in my reviews and like when I was talking about it on social media.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times there's a lot of fake people on Bookstagram. There is like, and don't be fooled by
there is.
There is.
Like, 100%. But I love this book. And like, without like any, I want to know why you decided to pick that book, given that like you've never read anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so I talked about it. I was like, listen, I am not a fan of People Meet on Vacation. I dislike that book. Like they're making it into a movie right now. And I've seen like, will I watch the movie? Probably.
Probably.
I like the movie? I probably actually would like the movie more than
the book.
Absolutely. And then when, I justified it. I was like, I think that was like the first time I realized like, you don't have to like everything an author writes. Like you don't have to love.
Amen, sister. Thank you.
I preach that a lot on here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get into that mentality where they don't want to upset the author or mm-hmm. they think they have some kind of parasocial relationship with the author.
Mm-hmm.
The author sometimes slides into their DMs, but like you, mm-hmm. we're doing a disservice to us for not being honest. And that's okay. Because somebody will read People Meet on Vacation and they will love it. And I'll be like, that's okay. It didn't work for me. And I'm not going to look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. And I think,
and then she has a big backlist of stuff that you like. So that's,
and I think that there
is, I preach it a lot on here, and I'll say it. And I, cause I love her.
Yeah.
My favorite book of this year is Crossroads. And one of my least favorite books of all time is also by Devney, but I love her. I will ride to the ends of the earth for her. I despise Coach. I'm sorry. That book made my feminine rage because of just the at work stuff and him being like, I don't care. I'm a man. That is that for me.
Valid.
And but do I say in the same breath, I'll read any other thing. Every last thing, I want Crossroads on my brain tattooed forever. Like literally, Calamity, everything. The only thing I haven't read is Mason Jar and Clarence. I just didn't. I was waiting for it to all go to the audio, you know? So then I got the audio of it all in one.
We're getting, Calamity is so underrated.
And I tell everybody that I just brought it up and I put it in a post because, and The Brood is one of my all time favorite Devney Perry books of all time.
I loved The Brood.
I've never done Devney yet. I need to do Crossroads.
I have a whole list for her.
Then I'm going to Calamity because Libby.
I love Calamity. I think it's the most underrated series from Devney of all time. And Wilder Abbott in The Brood is literally like, he's not a book boyfriend. He is a book husband.
Yeah.
That widower deserves life. I love him.
I think I'm trying to think of what my least favorite Devney book is. I don't think I've ever hated a Devney.
And this is not hate on her. I say it constantly. I love her. She is literally one of my second favorite author of all time, Lena Hendricks. Lena is like a god to me. But Devney is right there. So when people are like, I don't understand, right? Well, she has 82 books and I only dislike one, maybe two, you know?
There is a second.
I forgot about it. I try to put it on my brain, but I love her. She's the best.
Second book.
Garnet Flats.
Fuck off. I love Garnet Flats. It gets...
And that's where we're allowed to differ, but I love the Edens. Indigo Ridge, oh my gosh, I fell in love with a cop that day, and it was a woman.
Ridge was, I think, my first official Devney.
Me too.
Wait.
Actually, that's not true because I did not know she was Willa Nash. And I said to Brittany, these are a great Christmas books. Three Christmas books. Yeah, but I didn't know she was Devney. I was like, you're Willa Nash.
My Devney area.
Look at all of them and how beautiful they are.
And Devney. And then there's more Devney sprinkled in that I haven't.
Like, I literally love Devney. I have every book by her as well. Even the ones
I don't know if I read.
Not the biggest.
I don't know if I read Indigo Ridge first or if I read Steel King first.
I did Steel King last because I was worried I don't like motorcycle clubs. And Devney said, hold my beer. I will make you fall in love. And I did. And we got to 10 queen. And I was like, hello, you are a queen. You are actually everything I've ever wanted. But I love her.
Okay, that I think we need to be a little bit more honest with ourselves, especially when we're ranking and talking about books. Like, you're not going to love every single book, and that's okay. And I think because...
And you could still have them as your favorite author. She's my favorite author. She's not going anywhere. That girl, oh my gosh.
But I've given her more money. I recently read a book that all the girls were loving, and I just did not. So it's just like, you know, I'm like, what am I missing, you know? But it's just, you just got to be honest with your...
Nothing. You're just...
Now people are sliding into my DMs like, thank you for saying you didn't connect with this one. I didn't say it. It's a newer release. It's just it was a recent read that I just did not connect with.
But we're also trying to really advocate, especially for ourselves, because we used to not DNF. We are DNFing. Yeah. We don't have time to read things that we don't like.
I think I'm DNFing, and it's more so like not DNFing, but more like I'm going to revisit it.
Yeah, in a different time, in a different headspace, when I'm in a different time of my life. But that's exactly it.
Let me go back really quickly to the Emily Henry discussion. A couple more thoughts. So why it didn't specifically work for me is that it was a friends to lovers trope, which again, one of my favorites. I know it's not people's favorites, but it's mine. If it's done well, and it's not done well a lot of the time, and in communication, it was not done well. Because one thing that I hate about friends to lovers is this one-sided pining from a character, and the other person has
no idea. I never even thought a day in my life that you looked at me like that.
Well, it smacks them in the head. I know. Hate that. And that is, I think, why Ready or Not by Cara Bastone was not my favorite because it followed a similar thing. This man was in love with her since he was like 6 years old.
Fine, but she better be in love with him too, and there better be a reason that they can't be together. Not, I would rather that.
It's just not realistic. And like, I get it. It's a book. It's not supposed to be realistic. But like, as somebody whose marriage is founded on friends to lovers, that's literally yes. Zoe and I were how we met. We were friends for 2 years. This man was in love with me from the moment he met me. He was obsessed with me. And guess what?
I knew that.
Yes. I knew that. And I used it to my advantage. And yes, call me a bitch. I don't care. Advantage. And I slowly realized, holy shit, I'm developing feelings for him too. And I also love him. That's more realistic for our friends to lovers. Please.
Hell yeah.
We always had, we always flirted. We always had banter. We always had sexual like tension. And I knew that. And I knew that it was fucking with him. And like, not to be too graphic, but I'm sure that he was going back home and fucking jerking off to me all the time.
Yeah. Hell yeah, he was. My husband and I are also a friends to lovers trope. So I love it.
I mean, Brandon and I are too, but as in the most, we are the epitome of insta love. Brandon and Libby.
And that's and that's fine. Like, I just
friends. We were friends, but also, yeah. I literally the very first thing I said to my husband ever was, "Holy shit, you're hot. We should get married." Well, here we are.
I see.
8 years later.
Like, I feel like that's like, I think men and women can absolutely be friends, and like, you don't have to be like, I'm also a very flirtatious person. I end up flirting with everybody. That's just who I am. But like, there's several guy friends that I have that it's strictly like, we are bros. I am his bro. And so like, that's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's so unbelievable.
I have a couple of those. They're great.
That's why I did not like People Meet on Vacation. Will I watch the movie? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Yes. But I won't. I'll like it better than the book.
Easily. But I mean, like, I did a redemption thing, and I was honest about it. I was like, you know what? Didn't like that, but I love every other thing that this bitch writes. I do.
And I think that that is perfectly acceptable.
Can I bring up one subject that you constantly, like, when I think of you, that I think of? Yeah, you going around Chicago and taking the cover photos of the Windy City series.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I loved it.
The Windy City series is one of my Roman Empire series. I love it so much. I think the first thing that I saw you do was going around to recreate the right move.
Yep. Drive with Nico. It was so fun to do. And I think like, if you tell me a book series is based in Chicago, I will.
Yep.
I'm a big Chicago girly. I love my city. And I started reading it and I fell in love with it immediately. And I think what I loved about it a lot was that Liz, the author, she's a flight. She is or was? I can't remember. She was also a flight attendant.
I think she was.
I think she's a full.
It's a recent was.
She's a flight attendant. So she's been to Chicago so many times. And like, I've read books where they really capture the essence of Chicago. And then I've read books where they have read that they're based in Chicago. And I get so stuck in my head. I'm just like, that is physically impossible for you to.
You've never been here, have you?
For you to go from here to here in 10 minutes, that is not possible. And I think, I'm not going to name the name of the book, but it's a Chicago-based series out also. And I think that they were talking about like where, like in the suburbs or something, like this mansion in the city. And it was just not, it was not correct. And I was just like, and then they were talking about like Lakeshore Drive and like Lower Wacker, which are big streets. They're popular streets in Chicago.
I'm like, wait, I think I might know what this book is.
Back to the Windy City series.
Yes, Windy City.
I just read it for the first time this year.
I love it.
For my birthday. That's what I made her do for my birthday in June. I was like, please read some of my favorite books.
And I did.
And she did.
The Right Move is categorically my favorite book because it's mine too. Perfect. Yep. Perfect, perfect, perfect. But Play Along, also amazing. Because
I'm a caught up girly. I don't know. Something about me and Miller. We know what's going on with our tats and overalls. I was like, girl.
Controversial opinion. I had a problem with Play Along, but I think I like hype. I think I had too high of expectations for myself, and that is
it's like your favorite series.
It's my favorite, but I struggled with Kennedy. I got very frustrated with her throughout that book.
I she was okay.
Chapter 22 specifically at the awards ceremony.
I'm sorry, I haven't read Play Along yet. I've just been. I need to just do it on audio. Leave it at that. No, it's okay. You can say whatever, but I just
go back.
It took me so long to come up to it, and then I read Caught Up because Play Along wasn't out yet, and I did fall really hard for Miller.
Yeah, no, Caught Up was amazing, and I think she did a great job with it. Play Along, I loved it because it has my favorite micro trope, which is, oh my God, we got married accidentally in Vegas. Like, I love that one.
I love this little tidbit. What do you have, like, what's the second favorite micro trope you like? It doesn't have to be in that book. Just like, if you were like, mine is when he crawls to her is my number one superior micro trope of all time. You will get on your knees and crawl to me, sir. Yeah, you will. Britt is, you know, jizzing in the pants. If someone's jizzing in their pants, Britt is right in that 5 stars.
Dry humping.
Dry hopping! Oh, that's a good one!
PSAs to authors in my story updates. I'm like, authors, please, more dry hopping.
That's a good one.
Yes,
that is a good one. Another one for me, I mean, it's specific, but it's when the man is yelling at her family, being like, you will not talk to her like that. And I'm like, so are we fucking right here in front of our parents or what?
And Funny Feelings by Tara DeWitt. It's really cute.
That happens in that one?
Yeah, it does. There is some dry humping. It's low spice, but it's very, very good. But yeah.
Love it. Play Along, though, my mom just caught up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, not caught up? Huh? Funny. I didn't even mean that. But my mom has read the Windy City series, and she just finished Play Along. So she's now current. And she's like, when do we get Rio? So it's like one of those series that me and my mom both love and can talk about.
My mom reads The Filthiest Smut, more filth than I can even handle.
I love it. I think Liz wrote just like an incredible series. She captures Chicago essence really well, the vibe. I loved having that idea, especially when Caught Up came out and I went to Wrigley.
I loved what you were doing, though. I did. I loved it.
It was a lot of fun. And I think, like, when Rio's book comes out, I'm going to try and do it, like, all around the city with the books. But I do love it. I do love it. Yeah.
What's that book called? Glad. Do we know?
Yes. I actually just posted on my story this morning.
I wasn't sure. Do we know the color?
Rewind It Back is his.
Rewind It Back. Do we know a color?
She does always do a color theme. Has she released the color for this one?
We got to vote in a story one day, I remember.
I'd say it's green.
That's what I thought it was, too. Okay, I could be wrong, but I did think it was green.
Yeah.
Like a tealy green.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So we got a couple of your micro tropes. You said fake dating is one of your favorite tropes. What are a couple other of your, like, if it has that trope, I'm probably reading it.
So fake dating, marriage of convenience, or arranged marriage. So you see like a theme here.
Love those. Yeah, I group fake marriage and fake engagement as one as well. Like, we have fake relationships. We have marriages of conveniences.
It's all that. And then I used to not like it, but I love it now. I love second chance romances.
Do you? I love a good second chance.
I hated Friends to Lovers and Second Chances when I started, and I have found some amazing books now that are those. Laura Pavlov.
Devney converted me into that. I think, is age gap a trope?
Yes, it is, and I love it.
Yep,
them.
Because it's one of my least favorites, which I'm okay. I don't know why.
One of my top faves.
If they're both over the age of 21 when they meet, then I don't care.
I love it. I get what you're saying.
And there's no hate because Brittany will read all the age gaps, like for real. I like that we have it all covered.
Brittany, do you read QB Tyler?
I don't. That's makes taboo, me nervous.
That's taboo, right? Yeah, because Brittany has said she's a little nervous about the taboo.
It's forbidden.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about, like, the angst and the miscommunication. Miscommunication is one of my least favorite things.
There's been cheating. Brittany will not read a. She will not read a book with cheating. So
okay, with QB Tyler, there is very rarely miscommunication. Actually, I'm trying to think about that now. There isn't actually, and in any of her books, I'm trying to think.
I haven't read her either.
The newest book that she released, it did have the cheating trope in it, but like it was the main character cheating on his wife, but his wife was already a cunt and she was already like, it's complicated. Anyway, but I'm going to rec. Do you like pegging?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, and you're going to read What Was Meant to Be by QB Tyler.
What Was Meant to Be. Okay.
What was meant to be.
QB Tyler. It is her.
I'm going to Goodreads right now. We're adding it
I'm
to
I'm like,
TBR.
We have a buddy read task, Britt.
It is her godfather. I will tell you that.
Okay.
Her parents' best friend. Okay.
That doesn't bother me as much.
They kind of hooked up when she was like 19, 20 years old and then got back like and then started doing it again. Around like 21 or 22. And it was like,
this is a Brit book.
But it's not like, it's not like, it's not predatory. It's not grooming. It's none of that. Yep. Brittany does not like that. And she doesn't, she avoids that at all costs. She never wants like to come off like that. These books are so good. And What Was Meant to Be is my favorite QB book. And she's engaged to this other guy. And her godfather is like, holy shit, I don't want to lose her. And basically tries to get her back. So cheating light.
Okay, I will give it a chance for you, girl.
You have homework.
You won't care. The way Brittany, the way that QB writes these books is like, you won't care. Like, you're not emotionally invested in the relationship of this other couple. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just trust me. And then when you're ready, Unconditional is very...
That's the one I've heard a lot about.
I would say that is definitely taboo, more taboo than... That is her most taboo book.
And I follow QB, Tyler, because I love to support her, but I just am... This is not a... If you're listening, folks, you know these are not a father lib genre.
And that's...
Which is okay. But I'm just... If you're listening and you know you fall more along the lines of me...
Well, then here...
You can wait. We'll have her give some ricks maybe where we're emotionally destroyed.
Then I have the book for you by QB Tyler, okay?
Me? For me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm scared. I don't do wide shoes.
No, it's age. Okay. It's age gap. It is age gap, but she is in her 20s.
I can do that.
That's fine.
And it has actual pregnancy.
Ooh. Love. I'm like, love immediately. Yes.
Season of Secrets.
Season of Secrets.
Jason Clark is the narrator. And
okay, I'm like audio. I can do these on audio because I'm a huge audio girly, as you know.
I think What Was Meant to Be is on audio. I'm not sure yet. But the Season of Secrets is the one you want to read.
Okay, I will do it for you. I support her and from afar because I will be like, oh, I don't think you're writing for a Libby, but I love to support.
The accidental pregnancy happens a little later in the book. It's not the main
part
of the book. It's a work romance, but... Ooh.
Love that.
But he's very respectful of the rules and like you.
Love.
Immediately
I'm like, okay, I know. I trust you.
There's a scene on his private jet. Like, it's great. And then like, Brittany, I need you to read What Was Meant to Be because it's...
What Was Meant to Be.
It's so hot. She fucking pegs him. It's the hottest thing ever.
That does sound hot. Send me that scene when you get to it, Britt.
I will.
I will say, I don't know. Do you read white shoes really quick before we go? Do you like white shoes? Or So I am not a white shoes girly either.
I'm a fan. I love it.
If you're ever wondering, because I'm not, I have read probably like 50 because I just wanted to know and what, you know how it works. But I beta read Axes and O's by Kayla Gross.
I love that. Been floating around.
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. That is one of the best books I've ever read. That good. It's already out. It's on audio. MMF. It's White Shoes. And I am telling you, I hate them. I hate White Shoes. I told the author that before she asked me to beta read it for her. But she wanted my opinion on someone that didn't like it. And it's one of the hottest books I've ever read in my entire life. It is so hot. I can't even believe how good it is. Like, really. Like, it is a great book for people to dip their toes in.
There's sword crossing in it?
Yes! And that's what I like, is because it's a husband and wife duo that is bringing someone else in, a man. And she's a voyeur. So she watches while they have fun, the men, and I love it. And there's primal play that involves when I hunt you down, the tree I find you by becomes our Christmas tree after we fuck on it.
Wait, that's not okay. I get it. I wouldn't categorize that as a white shoes,
but it is.
But it's MM.
But they all have fun.
White shoes. They're all together.
If they're all together, there's a lot of times where they're all the holes in all of them.
And I will say this. I will say like a little asterisk. I'm not a fan of white shoes because I don't realistically think that everybody is getting the attention that they need. In like,
that's where I don't like either. Like, I'm not going to be left out.
Three or four more people. And it's always like, it's very cookie cutter to me.
Yeah. So I could see.
One. There's always like the sunshine one. With MMF though, I will read it, but it has to be really good, because what I don't like is when the girl is kind of like an accessory and really not needed.
No, there. I really like.
It should have just been an MM.
Oh, yes. I love MMs.
There's the MMF book by Sarah Kate. What was it called?
I haven't read a lot of her.
She has an MMF.
Give me more.
Eyes on Me. Eyes on Me.
No, Give Me More.
Give
Me More.
Is it?
Give Me More. Yeah.
You sure?
It's in her Salacious Players Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brit's read all those.
And it's couple. It's
American. And I don't like that one. It's like one of my, like, it's my exception that I'm not a fan because the husband feels left out when he's trying to figure out himself.
There's no left out. There is not one inch. No, I'm just letting you know if you ever want to read it. There's nothing left out.
It dealt with a lot of, like, internalized homophobia on the husband's part. Yes,
because of how his dad was and how he was raised.
Right. And,
I remember you telling me about that.
I think you could do that in books for sure. But like, I felt like it was. And then like the female main character felt so different from like how she was introduced in earlier books.
Yes.
I don't know. Like it was just, it felt like she wanted them all three to be a threesome. But then when it got to the book, like their book, I got this like weird resistance from her. So, no, it was like not my favorite. Okay. But I'm downloading it.
No, really. Trust me, I'll be the first to be like, you better hold something to my head to make me read these wide chooses. I love it. It's so spicy too. Like, it's just a good, spicy, like Christmas read. It's so good. Like, low on the plot, you know, like read it when you're like, hey, I would like a quick fun. Yeah, it's on audio. Lord help us all, because that is a daddy, and I mean in every sense of the word.
It's on my 10 before the end.
Oh, it's so good. I can't recommend it enough. Like, I keep going back to Kayla and thanking her. Like, thank you for letting me beta read this.
Kayla has been writing a lot of books.
Yep, and they're always have like great reps, you know, plus size men and women, you know, a lot of bi curious, but not in ways where it's like homophobia or anything, just like let's explore and we're safe and we're comfortable. And I really started to enjoy, like, I want to keep reading more of these why choose from her, because I like her flow. This week it's coming out.
You heard the audio though?
I heard some snippets of it because I'm in her group and I was making some things for her, and I cannot recommend enough, like literally without a doubt. I already pre-ordered the audio and I already read it. I beta read it, so I can't recommend it enough. I know everyone's like, what do you mean you're recommending Why Choose? No, I'm recommending it, everybody.
I know.
If I'm recommending it, you guys better be reading it, because I don't, you'll never get another one again.
Like, what the fuck is happening?
I'll give you the next Why Choose. Yeah, I'll give you the next one in next year.
Like one of like the, it has to be so well written for me to like it. It's not what I gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But I think like my goals for the rest of this year, or maybe like the next year, I would say. I think like I want to try and go back to reading more Kindle Unlimited books. That are not necessarily trad published. I think there's gonna be some authors that are trad published that I love that I will always read. But I think I'll go back to my roots of finding these like diamond in the rough books that you can only find on Kindle Unlimited sometimes. You know what I mean?
And
like,
yep.
I think like I got into this like bad habit of like not reading books where it's like because everybody else is reading them. Like, actually, I detest that and I never want to do that. But it was more so of a let me try and read these books that everybody's loving, because like, maybe I would love it too. And I just like, and sometimes I do, but like, I think I kind of miss finding that like crazy dark romance book, or I kind of miss, I just miss that feeling of you pick up a book that you've never heard of, an author you've never heard of, and you fall in love with it. Like, I think that's like my goal.
That's what happened when I found Devney.
Yeah.
It was literally a miracle. I was like,
that's my goal. Is I want to read more new to me authors. Like, I want to read more of that, and like more so of like kind of like not established authors, like they like maybe a smaller backlist, or they have been writing forever and maybe just haven't hit their stride, or like sometimes it just takes one TikTok video or one Instagram blow shit up. And like, I'm not saying that I want to do that for an author, but it's like I just want
to
find,
how cool though to use your platform if it did
do it, but
so cool,
want to find the diamond in the rough and be like something that, like, I don't know. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine. She's also not in the book world, but she loves to read. Like, she's not online. And she said, she's like, I love, she's like, she told me she read a book where it had maybe like only 100 reviews, but they're really good. Just 100 reviews. Like, she just randomly, it just popped up as like, you should read this next. And she's like, it was hands down the best book I read ever. Like,
I want to get back to not reading the reviews as much. I used to not do it at all when I started, because I was doing audio exclusively. And that's how I still have all of my favorite authors, like Devney and Lena. It's because there was not one review that I read before. I just found them.
And I think I want to also start training myself again to read with my eyes, because I feel like I've just so hard on audiobooks that
I love audio. I can't think of to cry my headphones out of my cold, dead hands.
I know. I'm never going to stop. But yeah, that's what I think.
Oh, I love that. Is there anywhere you're going to be next year? Conventions or anything? Is there somewhere people should be looking for you? Are you doing any collabs? Or are you going to just try to take a chill and find your inner peace for 25?
I think I'm going to find my inner peace for the rest of 2024. And mm-hmm. I think that collabs, yes. I just kind of talked to somebody about something interesting. So I think we're going to hop on a FaceTime and talk about it more, which I'm excited about. And then I think I talked about this on like an Instagram story that I posted a week ago or something. I feel like something big is on the precipice and I don't know what that is necessarily for me. And like, I just want to do it. So
yeah,
maybe yeah. I will buckle down and do a podcast. Maybe I will start that book coffee business. Like, I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm excited to wherever you go.
We are, we're all excited to follow along and see. We're going to make you come back on. You have to come back on because obviously you have such a large following and everything, but because you have such great unfiltered like topics that people want to hear. People are going to love this. They love the FaceTime style and they love when people are very honest. And I think it's good to hear it from someone that is really large to say you can have these things and be okay.
Yes.
We'll feel different. Be okay.
You guys visit each other, right? If you are in Illinois, you guys can come over to my house. We'll set it up in the library here. Film a podcast.
Oh, that would be fun.
We would literally die. We're going to have that happen immediately. Not immediately, but like the next time. Yes.
I'll buy a microphone and we'll do it. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh, we would love that. You're amazing. Thank you so much for chatting with us. We are going to link all of her stuff down below so you can find her everywhere. And we're going to make her come back. Don't you guys worry.
All right. Bye, guys.
Until the next time. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Bye, guys.